from the perspective of this internal technology and the way these things work in our lives, ancient traditions, esoteric traditions, native shaman, indigenous healers, left to us four keys, four secrets of prayer and healing. You can also refer to your CD workbook to review these as well. These are four secrets that help us to understand and provide us the guidelines in terms of why our relationship to our world works the way it works. I'd like to share each of these four and say just a few words about each of them to lay the foundation into the next section where we may begin applying these understandings to the events that are unfolding in our lives and our world today. The first of these suggests that we are already healed and that peace already exists in our world. And this secret comes from the understanding of vertical time. It says that within every moment of time, all possibilities already exist. Within every moment of time, we are already healed. Every healing that we can ever imagine, all the peace in our world already exists, as well as all the death, all the destruction, all the disease. It says that for the woman in the medicineless hospital in Beijing, there was a reality that was already present where her bladder cancer simply did not exist. However, because of choices in her life, choices in lifestyle, choices in belief and focus that we are not aware of right now, her focus, her reality brought to life the possibility where the cancer did exist. But it says for all of us, in the instant we experience something that we don't like, in that very instant, all the possibilities, all the parallel universes simultaneously coexist where that very experience is no longer there. The key is that we must claim the experience. And the way that we claim it is by feeling the feeling as if it has already come true. For claiming healing in our bodies, we must feel that healing even in the presence of conditions that suggest something other than the healing is happening. If we're choosing a nurturing relationship in our friendships or in our romance or in our families or with our siblings or our parents, then we must feel the feelings as if that nurturing already exists. This is the irony. It's such a bizarre irony. And what it says to us essentially is we must become already the very things that we choose to have in our lives. We must become the very things that we choose to have in our lives. The second secret, prayer and healing, is that although we may believe that there are many, many people in our world today, and statistics say that we share our world with about 6.2 billion of our global family, and what our studies are telling us is that there's only one of us here. There's a single field that we are all linked to. Many people, there's only one of us here. And that each of us are holographic in nature. Every time one of us chooses a new way to respond to the challenges of life, chooses a new way to respond to the aggression of another individual, a new way to get our point heard in a corporate boardroom without pounding our fists on the desk or saying the worst words or shouting the loudest, a new way to make our choice in our family known of what movie we'd like to see or what we'd like to have for dinner or which pizza we'd like to have for the evening, seemingly insignificant little moments in our lives. Each time one of us finds a new way to respond to those conditions in our lives, to some degree, the entire field benefits from that. The collective benefits from our choices. And what this suggests is that as many people come together with a common choice, the field, the mind of God, will mirror that choice back to us as the reality of our moment in time. And this becomes particularly a powerful concept when we talk about the potential of global conflict, nations at war, and the choices of how, as a nation, we choose to deal with the conflict, how, as a world, we choose to deal with our conflict. Secret number three is that our world mirrors our personal as well as our collective response. We choose in each moment of life. I invite you just to consider this. The ancient Essenes said to us that the most powerful moment in the day is the moment in between the inhale in the exhale of a breath. The most powerful moment is the time in between the inhale and the exhale. It's because on the inhale, something is happening. On the exhale, something is happening. And the moment in between is the space where nothing is happening, and it opens the door for the potential of all possibilities. This idea of the in-between is so powerful. In the indigenous traditions, the moment when the sun goes down at the end of the day and before the sky darkens with the night, what many of the ancients called the crack between the worlds, this is the most powerful time of the day. It's no longer daytime. It's no longer nighttime. It's in between. It's the space in between. And that's where the power comes to choose what our lives will be like in the next day and to give thanks for the day that's already been. Well, the same concept applies to you in each nanosecond of each day. And I invite you to think about this. In every moment of every day, you make a choice. In every moment of every day, you either make a life-affirming or a life-denying choice of the way you see yourself in your world and your life. It happens in every moment of every day. In every moment of every day, you either breathe a life-affirming, full, deep, full-body yogic breath, or a life-denying, short, brief, shallow breath that really doesn't nourish your body well at all. In every moment of every day, you are choosing to think the kinds of thoughts in terms of the way that you see others around you. I believe that is a really good metaphor for the way our world appears to work, because the ancients say to us, now quantum physics is saying something very similar, that this world is a reflection of something in the unseen worlds. But this seems real to us because this is where our focus is right now. So the visible world is actually the reflection of the visible relationships, our health, career, romance, husband, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, jobs, no jobs, abundance, lack of abundance, all those things here in this world are mirrors of what's happening in the unseen world. And if that relationship is true, then what it says to us is what we experience in our beliefs is what becomes in our visible world, in our lives. Our thoughts, feelings, and emotions in the unseen world are what we experience here. And that's important. When we live from within principles of honesty, trust, and integrity here, we find ourselves in supportive, healthy relationships and careers here. When we find ourselves with illness, lack, broken relationships, failed careers, our lives are in chaos in this world, it's inviting us, all it's doing is inviting us, it's not judging us as right, wrong, good, or bad, it's inviting us to look and see what's happening in here. How do we conduct our lives? Are we living lives dishonoring life-affirming principles of integrity? Feeling, by definition, is the union of thought and emotion. Emotion is the power source. Thought is the direction. In the ancient traditions, we are capable of two primary emotions, love and whatever you believe the opposite of love is. When we get deep into those teachings, we find out that they're one and the same. Most people say love and fear. So this is how a feeling works. We have a thought about something, and we either have a love of that something or a fear of that something, and that becomes our feeling, and feeling is the language that speaks to the world around us. Through our quantum hologram of all possibilities, what we become in our beliefs, we experience in our world. So the best way to remember this is we must become the things that we like to experience. If we're choosing compassion, understanding, love, supporting relationships around us, we must be those very things. And it makes a lot of sense. Now, quantum physics is validating this from their perspective, and the ancient traditions are saying it from theirs. From that perspective, husbands, wives, lovers, friends, careers, health, abundance, all the things of our lives are a language. If you want to know what your inner thoughts, feelings, and emotions are all about, look at the world around you. Are you experiencing loving, supportive, nurturing relationships of health, career, friendship, husbands, wives, lovers, abundance? And if so, that will say to you that your language
is a life-affirming language, and those are the patterns that you awaken. If you're experiencing other than that in this world, it's not a bad thing. You're not being judged. It's an invitation to look at your thoughts, feelings, and emotions, your beliefs, your perceptions, your judgments of what's happened. And the good news is that it works both ways, because when we change in here, we can expect those changes in the world around us. The key is that each experience is the product of thoughts, feelings, and emotions.